morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming today on this rainy Rosary Sunday. So, as you all know, because you've all been through this, I have not. I'm told I'm supposed to tell you a little bit about myself, so, you know, bear with my life story here. It should be over in a few hours. But, my life began, as many of you well know, in Massachusetts. I was born on February 8th, 1985, in a smaller town known as Tewksbury, Massachusetts. It's a suburb northwest of Boston, possibly about 20 miles or so northwest. So a nice, quiet town for Massachusetts. And my parents' names are Donna and Scott. My father is an electrician, and my mother, when we were growing up, she was a homemaker, and later on, when we were older and more independent with being able to take care of ourselves when we were home, she went to work as a secretary. And then I have a younger brother, William, he's 18, he's 3 years younger than I, so he's about 25 or so. And so that's my immediate family there in Tewksbury. Now, my parents, they were very hardworking and very loving parents. They instilled many good and natural virtues in my brother and I, and took care of us very well. But in upbringing, while they took care of us on all of our material and physical needs and things like that, the one thing that was lacking a little bit, or not a little bit, a lot of it, was that I really didn't have much of a spiritual foundation as a kid. We didn't really go to church or anything. We were, that typical Massachusetts Novus Ordo Catholic family. So, we went to CCD every single year because that's what you're supposed to do, is go through CCD all the way to confirmation. But we never really went to church all that often, except for on occasion we would sometimes go on I call it the get stuff days, the days where you actually get something at church. So that was usually Ash Wednesday or Palm Sunday. We go because, hey, we're going to get something, and we don't want to be the only ones in town walk around without our ashes on our heads or, without palms to put up in the house. But beyond that, there was no real spiritual foundation. Instead, my family was a very sports-oriented family. Contrary to the way I look now, I actually was rather athletic growing up, and we played a multitude of sports for all the seasons, football in the fall, and during the winter time we skied and skated and we played basketball and all these different things, and then during the spring and summertime I played baseball and also golf too, but mainly baseball. Baseball became my main focus in my life because I didn't have any spiritual life, so I had to find something to replace that. So I worshipped at the altar of baseball, the minor deity of baseball, as it was. And this being an athlete in my hometown was actually a big deal, because I don't know if you have the saying out here of townies, but in Massachusetts we have townies, and Tewksbury is definitely a townie town. And what a townie is somebody that basically they grow up their whole entire lives in that town, they graduate high school, and then they move right back to that same town and die there. And when they in Massachusetts, we have the old New England townships, so you have governments run by town meetings. And, it's very much as close to actual real democracy as you can have, because people actually come and attend the meetings and vote on stuff. So, the townies would go to all the town meetings. They'd show up at the football games wearing their Letterman jacket from 1975. And, they would just never give up on their town. Tewksbury was very much like that. And so playing sports in a town like that was a big deal, actually. And so that's what I made my main focus, was making for a name for myself, playing athletics, especially baseball. In regards to baseball, I started when I was one. I started as soon as I could walk. My father had given me for Christmas a Nerf bat and a Nerf ball, and he would tell me later on that he would spend hours throwing the ball to me, not because he forced me to, just because I wanted to. And I would hit it, and I'd go run and get it, bring it back to him. He'd be sitting there watching television, not even paying attention, just robotically throwing a ball at me, and I would take care of the rest. And he said I would spend hours doing that all the time. I guess I was inspired in that regard from him, because he was a very good ball player himself. And in the 80s, one of the big things was men's softball. My father played in men's softball leagues and, in fact, traveled all throughout the country in the amateur national championship games throughout the country. And so I always wanted to play baseball, kind of following in that regard. And I played in all sorts of different leagues, town leagues, traveling leagues, AAU, all the way through high school and everything. I played as often as I could. My job was I worked at an indoor batting cage. I would hit all winter long in this cage. I would hit all summer long. I ate, drank, and slept baseball. And but that all would eventually change in my life. My senior year in high school is when things started to change in this regard. You know, I started to look at school seriously as for college, and with the idea in mind of where can I play ball at? You know, who's going to give me the best deal to play at their university? But meanwhile, during my senior year, I had another friend in high school who was constantly badgering me to go to this retreat at our Novus Ordo church. He was constantly pestering me to do this. And I kept saying to him, I don't go to church on Sundays. Why am I going to go spend 3 whole days at church? You know, I won't even go for 45 minutes. And so, you know, and I used to tell him I wouldn't drink his Kool-Aid. I wouldn't do all these things. But he kept pestering me and kept trying to bribe me into going. And, you know, and finally he had worn me down so much. And I think it was just about as much to get him off my back. I said, fine, I'll go. Just leave me alone. And so I did. And I went to this retreat, and from a religious point of view, it was absolutely horrific. It was a train wreck of a religious retreat. I mean, they would call this thing a religious retreat is a travesty. But it was all very emotion-based and, you know, big, fluffy, you know, everybody's friends type of thing. But what it did happen with that is that I met some people there that would become my friends that would help me to grow in the faith. So I met these people. They were older than I was. I was, you know, a senior in high school. I was 17 years old at the time. These people were 24, 25 years old. And so I would go to, so I met them at this retreat. They were very nice. I got along with them well. I had similar things in common with them. And so they invited me afterwards, hey, you know, why don't you come to a barbecue? And as it sounds familiar for today now, right? And all I do is cook on a barbecue. But but they said, well, why don't you come to, we're having a barbecue next weekend. Why don't you come? Where am I going to meet you? Well, why don't you just meet us at church? We'll go to Mass, and then we'll go to my house. Okay, fine. So I did. I went to church with the idea of wanting to go hang out at this barbecue. And then we went to the barbecue. You know, we ate and everything, and after everybody was letting their food settle, we prayed the rosary afterwards. And then this would continue. Okay, well, next weekend we'll probably do the same thing. Why don't you come, we'll do, you know, breakfast in the morning, and then we'll go to church, because, you know, in the Novus Ordo, you don't really have to fast for food at all before Mass. So, you know, it's like we'll go right from breakfast to church, and then, you know, then we'll come back and, you know, do whatever, play games or something in the afternoon. And same thing, rosary afterwards, and things like this. And it started to do more and more in this regard, And then I started to pray the rosary on my own, or I would start to go to church on Sundays on my own with that. I started to want to learn more about my faith because, you know, I was born Catholic, but didn't really mean anything. But now it was starting to mean something. And I started to study more about it, and, you know, and then I continued to say those rosaries. The next step along the way was that these friends also were in charge of a non-profit organization. And so I started to work with them for, you know, with this non-profit organization. We would do all sorts of different things. I mean, you know, we do car washes for leukemia, and we do candle drives for lupus or whatever. But the main thing we did was we gave out rosaries and scapulars and miraculous medals to people, brown and green scapular, rosary, and miraculous medal. And we distribute these. And we started going to different churches and standing outside each of the masses and handing them out. And soon this became the main focus of that, was getting out these sacramentals. And over the years that I worked for them, we gave out literally hundreds of thousands of sacramentals. And it was truly incredible. We had called, by the end of that apostolate, we had called every single church in the Archdiocese of Boston, and we'd visited about two-thirds of them, because we couldn't go give them out unless the pastors would let us in. But, you know, we visited a huge amount of churches to deliver these sacramentals. And because of doing all of this work for the church, I saw that in my life there was something of more importance now than simply just playing baseball. And so now, where I was looking to go to college to play baseball, basically, and on the side go to school, now my thought was, I don't think I have time to play anymore because I want to devote myself more to doing work with the church. And so this change started to come about me because of Our Lady's Rosary. And, you know, she will keep coming back into this talk. So I made that decision. I had the long sit-down talk with myself. Am I going to play in the major leagues? I'm, an average-sized kid from Massachusetts. You know, I might be good in Tewksbury, but I'm not going to be a superstar when I start playing kids from Florida who could play year-round and things like that. So I said, chances are probably not. I had my last go-around of baseball is that summer. I was contacted by a semi-pro team. I played that summer for them, and that was it. I walked away from something that had always been my dream growing up, which was playing collegiate baseball. I walked away from it to start doing more work for the church. But at this point I entered college, still going to the Novus Ordo, but I was really starting to change my life. I was starting to try to live more as a moral Catholic and to live more devoted to the church, to more devoted to especially Our Lady's Rosary and the Scapula. And, it was during this time, as I started to go to college, that a truly miraculous thing happened. A couple of those friends of mine had gone to a religious gift store. Now, at this point, we were all praying the rosary every day. And so they went to this religious gift store, and they were looking through the books, and this woman that they had never met before walked up behind them and just says, "You guys should go to the Latin Mass." No hello, no, you know, how you doing? You should go to the Latin Mass. And they turned around and said, "What the heck is a Latin Mass?" So, and the lady said, "It's the Mass that all the saints have gone to for the Western Church." And their simple reaction was, "Well, if it's good enough for the saints, it's good enough for me, so let's find out what the heck this thing is." And so we did. And so I went to my first Latin Mass. It was actually a high Mass in 2003. And when I attended it, I remember my jaw just dropping. And I truly felt, little did I know at the time, but I truly felt that I had been to Mass for the first time. This was a whole new experience for me. And I was hooked. This is where I wanted to go to Mass. You know, now there's going to be this time of growing where you do the back and forth thing, because it was a bit of a drive to get to that Mass. But you know, it was. But in time, I would go more and more regularly to that. But now I was starting college, and now that meant I wouldn't be able to go quite as often, but I was going to school pretty locally, so it allowed me to commute in there fairly well. And when I was there at college, like I said, I had started to change how I was living my life. And so now many of you have seen the fun activity of me juggling fire. You know, some simple, very safe activity for all your kids to enjoy. This thing actually is something that I did learn how to do in college. I had taught myself the very basics of juggling just because I played baseball so much that I had baseballs around all of the time. But anything beyond that, I learned from actually a juggling club that I was part of in University of Massachusetts. And I joined that club for the sole reason of knowing that there's going to be all sorts of temptations in college. I don't want to have anything to do with them. So I better find something to keep myself occupied, to keep myself busy so I can stay away from it. And so I joined the juggling club. It was a bunch of, you know, weird hippie-looking people, but they looked like they were having a lot of fun. And so I said, well, why not? And so I joined up, and that's how I learned how to do all these neat tricks, was through this juggling club. And we put on shows and everything like that. It was quite a good time while I was in college doing that. And at the same time, and through college, continuing to say my rosary and continuing to grow in the faith. Now, it was soon after starting college that my life would really turn towards being truly a traditional Catholic. And at that time, our little non-profit organization was contacted by the Archdiocese of Boston, and they wanted to put us under their umbrella, under the Archdiocese, which, you know, from our point of view, would be a great thing at that time because we could do more things. But at the same time, we had found out about Bishop Robert McKenna down in Connecticut. And strangely enough, we had received letters from both the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Boston and Bishop McKenna asking us to come for a visit on the same day. And so we were really in a conundrum, and we had two roads, very different roads, of where to go. And so we prayed to Our Lady to let us know which way should we go. Should we go with the diocese, or should we meet this bishop that we know is not part of the diocese, but he says the Latin Mass? And the day before those meetings came up, the auxiliary bishop called and said that he had to cancel. And so our choice was made. Down to Connecticut we went. And from there, you know, he had told us what exactly the situation in the church was with the hierarchy and everything. Made complete sense to us. What the difference between the sacraments was, made complete sense. And he had all this information to back it up. And it was then that we knew this is how we had to proceed, was to become truly a traditional Catholic in that regard. Now, after that, things continued to, you know, progress in on that front, and I finished college with two degrees, one in philosophy and one in criminal justice. And I started to work full-time after this. Now, during college, I kept having this gnawing feeling in the back of my head that perhaps maybe I should, you know, possibly go to seminary. Maybe this is what God wants for me. You know, I like to work for the church. I like to do all these things. But, you know, I knew, okay, I had to get through college first. And then when I finished college, what's the natural thing to do? Get a job. And so I got a job with Cummings Properties in Woburn, Massachusetts. It's a very large commercial real estate company, and I was a property manager there a very fantastic job. I really enjoyed it a lot. I had a lot of opportunity for progressing in the business, for moving up the ladder, if you will, and I was fairly good at my job. So all of those things combined, I liked what I did. But this thought was still there, always kind of bothering me. Should I go to seminary? And finally, I decided, once again, you know, I had to sit down and talk with myself before. I had to sit down and talk again this time with myself. And I figured that if I don't make it through seminary, I can always come back and work at Cummings Properties. I mean, that's not a problem. But if I don't go soon, then I might never go to seminary. And so I knew that that was where I had to move towards, was towards going to seminary, because I didn't want to lose on a possible vocation that I had. I knew I'd figure out whether or not I had a vocation when I was in seminary, but I couldn't figure it out outside of it. And through seminary and through all my steps of conversion, there was many bumps in the road, hardships along the way, but there's always one constant. And one thing that always led me through these trials that would come up like they do in anybody's life, and that was always the rosary. When things were the hardest, that's when devotion to Our Lady's rosary was the most important, and that's what gave me the direction that I needed to go in, was by being faithful to her. And this is true for all of us. You see, today's wonderful feast is, this is, it really points to this being one of the most important things in our lives, is that Holy Rosary. When you look at people that are traditional Catholics and that are truly devoted to the Church, one thing that you will see across the board is that if they came over from the Novus Ordo, or if they were born in it, doesn't matter, if they're solid in that traditional faith now, they have one thing in common, is that they all are devoted to the Rosary, as I'm sure all of you are here. But when people start to struggle with that, when people start to waver and start to go through real difficulties in faith in that regard, one of the things that you'll find in common is that it's the rosary is the first step that led them to have those difficulties. They stopped saying their rosary and they started relying instead purely on themselves and not on the help of Our Lady. This wonderful feast day needs to be a renewal of devotion to that Holy Rosary. It has to be our most important prayer outside of Holy Mass. It's the most powerful prayer that we can say outside of Mass, because it's the prayer that's given to us by Mary herself, coming straight down from heaven to us on earth. She promised that she would save the world through her rosary and scapular. She's not lying to us. She means that. And by saying that every day, we can be sure that those little, that simple action, that following along of those simple knotted beads of rope, following that rope and knots and beads, that is going to be our lifeline to heaven. That is Our Lady's promise to us, and that is what we have to always remind ourselves of. So, thank you for all coming on this wonderful feast day and sharing it all together. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about my life. I enjoyed sharing it with you. It's not anything super extraordinary, but it certainly lets you know where I came from anyway. So God bless you and happy feast day.